Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Kiss 45 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and I'm Al Warren, Mr. Dave Martino. Present.
I'm here.
What presents? What presents? You're bringing me presents. It's not even Thanksgiving, and you're bringing me presents.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So we're at gold, silver.
Gold, silver. Yeah.
All that good
stuff. All that stuff. Come on. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. I need it. More. And we're gonna learn about this. We've got the author of a book called Money Wise, Mabel's Bursting Bank, Kaylee Boisvert.
Boisvert. Yep. Close. Yep.
Welcome to the show, Kaylee.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is going to be fun. So listen, now this is kind of aimed... Now, so this book is about being money-wise, but I guess it's aimed at kids, right?
Yes. So I actually have two books that just came out. So that one, Money-Wise, Mabel's Bursting Bank, that's a picture book for kids. And then I also have a nonfiction book called Make Money Your Thing. And that one's it's a nonfiction book, really aimed at adults. But I really focused on women for that book because I think that they're often, you know, sometimes ignored in the finance industry. So those are the two books actually that I have out.
Wow. That's great. That's even better.
Yeah.
What do you say about this? So what's kind of the option behind this? So when you're writing books like this, what are you hoping people get out of them?
I'm hoping to have like an impact on people's financial lives overall. So the book for women, again, I think that women have kind of been ignored by the finance industry, unfortunately, for quite some time. And that probably kind of stems from that patriarchal past of men, you know, earning the money and doing all the investing and things like that. But I think we can acknowledge that times have obviously changed. Women make money and, you know, women are also independent financially and all those other scenarios too. So I wanted to create something that really felt like it catered to women, knowing that maybe they haven't felt like they belonged in this industry for some time now. And so it's just this, you know, a welcoming space for women to kind of feel like they can have the conversations about money and learn more about investing and feel okay, like comfortable and a safe space to learn about it. Because, you know, I called the book Make Money Your Thing because most often I hear these things from women, but they'll say things like, I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with math. Money just isn't my thing. Well, absolutely. You know, you can change that and you can make it your thing. And I share stories of women in the book and myself included, women who have, you know, done these things. And it's not complicated by any means, but, you know, it's just financially independent women and women who have stepped into saying, okay, I need to start investing. I need to put my money to work too. And this makes sense. And, you know, and this is how I'm going to go about it. And these are the actions I need to take. And it's really walking the reader through that journey so they feel comfortable doing so. So they have a bit more of a confidence boost. So they'll take the action. So that's the book, Make Money Your Thing. And then the kids book, Money Wise Mabel's Bursting Bank. I wrote it really, you know, my daughter was, I think, 5 at the time when I was writing the book, and it was when COVID first hit and kids were at home and we were sort of responsible for doing the teaching and whatnot. And it really dawned on me that we don't learn these money topics in school enough. And, you know, my 5-year-old was showing signs of just being terrible with money. And I mean, that's to be expected because she hadn't learned anything about money. And so it just got my, you know, got the creative juices flowing of, okay, what can we do for kids? And can we have these conversations with really young kids? And I think we can. And that's why I wrote this kids picture book for parents to have this conversation with kids as young as, like, I would say 3 to 7, for this book. And it's just about opening the line of communication because kids are, you know, really cute and also very smart. We don't give them credit, I think, enough for how smart they are, that they can really pick up these topics. And it's just the foundation of these money concepts that we can learn.
Right. You know, I can see that. And I guess, you know, are you talking about investing money and how to invest and answering those kinds of questions? Or is it just more money management? Or what do people get when they read this then?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say a bit of both. Like, even in the kids book, I introduced the concept of compounding interest. So you try to do that for little kids. It's interesting, but I did it. I attempted it. So the idea of, you know, the bank paying them money for getting their, you know, holding their money in their bank account and whatnot. So I introduced the concept of compounding interest in the kids book. And then in Make Money Your Thing, absolutely, there's money management. And then there's also the topic of investing, because ultimately, like, when it comes to building wealth, you know, what is key? We have to get our money working for us. It's one thing to save money, and that's a great diligent habit to get into, but that's only part way, right? The next step is really investing that money and having it grow. And I give examples of, you know, just saving it and sort of socking away under your mattress or not having it actually invested versus having it invested and growing and compounding, and what those look like, the differences. And the difference is massive when we project it out like 10 years, 20 years. So investing is an integral part to wealth building, and we can't ignore that. And we do have to, you know, take that seriously and say, okay, I need to start investing. And we do have to also acknowledge that we can start investing at any point. You don't have to be a very, you know, wealthy person or have to earn 6-figure salaries or anything like that to get started investing. You can get started with, you know, putting away $25 a month. Like, it's, you know, you can start small and still build from there.
Yeah, it's very different today. You can start with, you know, much less money. Why do you think they don't teach personal finance in school?
That's a good question. There's probably a lot of conspiracy theories to this.
Like, yeah, I was wondering if it's a little controversial.
I think it is. Like, the idea that, you know, they want to keep us in the whole worker mode. Those are, yeah, the controversial opinions. Or, they, you know, credit cards, like when we use our credit cards, mm-hmm. right? And that as well. So I don't know. It's really tough to say. And it's a question I'm really diving into with the next book I want to write, and I'm starting to plan for. It's one specifically for, like, teenagers and young adults, because that's that pivotal stage when you actually start earning money. And I think that's the point where it's really, you can use these good, positive money habits and really form something amazing. Like, we have charts that show if you start saving $150 a month at the age of 19 and then only invest for something like 10 years and then just let it grow and compound, by the age of 65, you have something over $1 million. If it's compounding, I think around like 9 or 10%. So that's amazing to hear, like, thinking that someone only has put away thousands of dollars, which will compound and grow itself to over $1 million if they start early. But we don't. And I would say a lot of that's based on, well, we don't learn this in school. And you're right. Why don't we learn it in school? That's a great question. And I hope that this is changing and that we're going to start seeing this more and more incorporated in the education system because of how impactful it is. Like when we grow up, we're all impacted by money. We have to make money decisions every day as adults, every single day, yet we don't learn about it in school. It's a really scary thought.
You know, when I was growing up, of course, I'm old, but back in the 60s, you know, a female couldn't even have a bank account without her husband or father's signature. In the
jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yes, it's quite a change in time. What are people getting wrong? Like, what do you think people do wrong the most?
That's a really good question as well. You're right. So we are, you know, we're kind of playing catch up because there was a point where, you know, not so long ago, women didn't even have bank accounts or credit cards. It's mind blowing to think that. So I think I talk about this in the book, like the whole kind of first section of the book is like a money mindset topic. That's a big one that I think that everyone can work on and is so powerful. And we're getting that one wrong quite often, I think. And that's the idea of having these money beliefs. And money beliefs oftentimes are, you know, what we have, and they're based on almost like we pick them up along the way. And often that's coming from our childhood. So think about money beliefs you might have heard growing up. And for me, it was, we didn't have a lot of money. I was raised by a single mom. And so what I was hearing on repeat was, you know, we don't have enough. We never have enough. There's almost this whole scarcity messaging that I received growing up. So that led to, in my young adult years, thinking like it's hard to earn money and it's hard to, you know, save money and grow your income and your wealth. And so it's this mindset piece that can be so powerful, because if we really look at some of those beliefs we have, and I've talked about this on like podcasts I've been on as well, where, you know, the podcast person has said beliefs like, you know, people think that millionaires or people with a lot of wealth are greedy, or money is the root of all evil. Like, those are really big statements to say about money. And if we really look at them, like, we can't actually say that those are true with, you know, 100% accuracy, because we could argue that there's a lot of wealthy people that are not evil or greedy or anything like that. So it's looking into your own beliefs you have about money. Spend some time. And I tell readers, or just even when I'm talking about this on like podcasts and shows, is write down some of your money beliefs and then look at those again, whether they're good or bad, look at them and decide, you know, are these true? Because I would guess that a lot of them aren't, like things like, you know, I can never get ahead, or I'm always in debt. I would argue that's not a 100% true statement. That's a belief you have. And once you recognize that, you know, the fun part is now you have the power to choose what you want to believe. And this is setting you up for some really, you know, positive money vibes and a good money mindset to work with going forward. So again, you look at the ones you have, you write down or kind of check on the accuracy of them, which I would argue that probably a lot of them aren't accurate, and then get to, you know, write down ones of your choosing, like saying things such as, I'm excited to learn more about money. I'm building my financial knowledge. I'm working on growing my savings. I'm looking for creative ways. I'm open to finding more creative ways to save. You know, things like that, ones that really feel good that you can get behind. And then have those sort of be the beliefs you have going forward, because that's going to open the, you know, the realm of possibilities too when it comes to money. When we're saying things like, I can never get ahead, I'm always in debt, guess what? Our brain just kind of closes off and decides, okay, like, I can't get ahead, end of story. But if you're saying, I'm looking for creative ways to save more money, well, now you open the possibilities. And now your brain is saying and looking for like creative solutions and ideas. It's open. It's looking for possibilities. And that's so much different. So I think the mindset piece is one of the biggest mistakes we make, and one of the easiest things that we can do right now. Because again, it doesn't cost money to do this. Like, we can all take a moment and do this kind of assessment on ourselves right now, exactly as we are.
Yeah, because what you think and your beliefs, they change your actions, don't they?
Absolutely. I think so. I'd like to think so. Like, I hope that everyone does at least give that activity a try and see, you know, and do it going forward as much as you can. Because those beliefs are going to come up again and again. You might find yourself, you know, seeing someone drive by in a really fancy car and those old beliefs going like, oh, you know, that's a waste of money or things like that. And you're like, well, you know, wait a minute. Stop right there. You know, what am I choosing to believe now about money? And so see what happens in the next few months when you're being really mindful of those thoughts.
So what is going on a date with your money?
That's a good question. That's one of the chapters, yeah, in my book, Make Money Your Thing. Go on a date with your money. That's fun, right? Dating is fun sometimes.
Well, it depends.
I know. I've been single and I've been in the dating scene, I feel like, for maybe too many years. But it can be really fun. So I guess dating your money, the concept of that is just, it's the idea of spending some dedicated time with your money. So when you really think about it, how much time do you spend earning money? I would say the majority of people spend upwards of 40 hours a week, maybe more, maybe less. You know, good on you if it's less. And so a lot of time spent making money. But how much time do you actually give to your money? Like, just, you know, spending time working on your money. And I would argue that is a lot lower in relation to how much money we spend earning money. And I'm not saying that, okay, now you've spent 40 hours a week spending time on your money. Of course not. But even, you know, if you can think of a money date, it's just dedicated time with your money. So maybe you say, oh, okay, you know, next Sunday, I'm going to spend 1 hour on a money date. And that's, again, giving dedicated time to your money. So you put it in your calendar. Key is put it in your calendar, because I think when we put something in our calendar, it becomes a little bit more non-negotiable, right? We're going to show up. And then on this money date, I give ideas in the book of all sorts of kind of money dates you can have, like different topics you can tackle. But just think, you know, what stands out for you at that moment. Like, it's almost like deciding, has there been something on your mind that you want to delve deeper into? Maybe you're saying things like, I don't know where all my money goes. Maybe that's a phrase you've been saying. Well, this money date is a great opportunity to take a look back at your last month of expenses and start seeing where your money's going, like really categorize it and see, and then and spend some time on that and decide, you know, does that make sense? Am I okay with that? Or is there any changes I want to make?
So do you think it's really important to sit for a person to sit down, even a kid too, right? This is to start, you know, if they have an allowance or if they work a little job or a couple day hours a week or something, or even if they're an adult. So should they sit down and write all of the finances, like a budget, kind of what goes in, what goes out, and keep track of it to kind of get a hold of what is going on in their financial world?
Absolutely. I would say so, because it's awareness, right? And when we have an awareness, what's really powerful about awareness is, well, now we can choose what to do with that. So maybe you look through everything and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. And that's exactly what I thought. I would argue that most people, if you're doing this for the first time, are going to be pretty surprised at some of the categories. But with this awareness is so much power, because you can now make a change going forward. So I don't like to suggest like budgeting in the sense of you have to track it on a daily basis or, you know, weekly basis, nonstop going forward. But I think having an awareness, we can all get behind that there's value to that. Because the personal finance industry, you can listen to people that are going to say, have your budget, stick to the strict budget or whatever. And then you're going to have some people say, you know, you don't need a budget and that's too much work or whatever. It's almost like there's two sides to it. But I would say, let's just take it as money awareness. Having some awareness is better than not knowing. Because when you have awareness, you can then decide what you want to do with that. If everything is great and you're happy, then continue as is. If there's things that you were quite surprised about, you know, maybe you spend more on the eating out category. That's always my weakness. Yeah. And so it's just being more mindful of saying, okay, I'm going to do some meal planning and make sure that I'm eating some more dinners at home because I've been spending money eating out too often or something like that. So it's a really powerful exercise to say, you know, what is some of the positive changes I can or I want to make? Because that's what it really comes down to with money and spending. When you're spending on things that really align with your values and your goals, you're not going to necessarily feel bad and stressed and guilty over it. But it's when you're spending money on those things, like I mentioned, you know, Uber Eats or Skip the Dishes or whatever it is, you might go, okay, that's not really a value of mine. I want to make some changes there. But then spending money on trips, if you really value adventure, that might feel good and really resonate with you. And that's okay.
Right, or the Starbucks drive-through.
Yeah.
Or online apps. Online apps must be a thing, because the streaming and all these things, people go, oh, I'll get that, you know, and hook up Paramount or hook up Netflix or Prime, and all of a sudden they've got 10 apps, but the money just comes out and you don't notice it because it's just on your phone, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. So when you're doing this awareness piece, it's that reminder of, oh yeah, I signed up for that a few months ago, but I watched all the shows I wanted to. Now I'm going to cancel it because I don't really need it anymore, right? It's a good activity because it's going to make you aware of some of those blind spots.
Now, is it safe to invest? Like, this is something that I would imagine a lot of people question, because I think personally there's a ton of people out there that have no idea about how investing works or what they should invest in. And it feels like, you know, it's so distant from people, just don't have a clue.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's one of the places that people, you know, that it would be kind of like the scariest place. And I think we all have a story. You know, the reason it's like, I have a chapter that's like literally called something about how, and you know, investing doesn't have to be scary. Because I think anyone I've talked to, or probably anyone you've met and talked to, has this story, like this horror story, whether it's themselves, their parents, their friend, their cousin, their sister's, you know, friend from another city or whatever it is, however many removed. But it's this story, this horror story about someone putting money in the stock markets and then losing it all. And that really resonates and sticks with people. And then they decide going forward that they aren't going to invest because they heard this horror story that happened to someone. So again, knowing that, that is very scary. But investing doesn't have to be scary. Investing is one of the most common ways that people use to build wealth. So if you want to know what are wealthy people doing with their money, they're investing it. And it doesn't have to be scary because there's ways we can go about it to make it less scary. So some of the ways being, okay, invest appropriately for your time frame. So if you say, I need this money next month for a down payment on a house, but I'm going to throw it in the stock markets and see if I can make some money in the meantime. Well, that's a really scary approach to investing because you can either gain a lot or lose a lot in that short of a period of time. So you wouldn't want to do something like that with something that's on a shorter term time horizon. But let's say you're in your 40s, you're not looking to retire until your late 50s or 60s, and you're putting money away for retirement. Well, investing is a really important strategy to help you build that wealth. And you can take on put money in stock markets and take on some of that volatility. Because when we zoom out and look at the stock markets, when we're looking at time frames like 20 years plus, the stock markets have actually always returned positive results on those longer term time horizons. So it is a safe strategy and a good strategy to use because it's actually going to make a big impact on your retirement savings. You're probably going to have to save a much less amount. Like if you're saying, oh, I think I need $1 million to retire or $1.5 million or whatever that number is. Well, to think that you have to put away all that money, that's extreme. And I would say would be hard for anyone to do. But when you're investing and it's compounding, it's growing, that's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. And so what you actually have to put away is astronomically less. And so that is why we invest. So yes, investing is really important and it is good to do. And there's ways we can make it less scary. We can be mindful of our time horizon. We can be mindful of diversifying. So we talk about, well, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So if you go and invest all in one stock, and I give an example of, a woman I met with that was really scared to invest because she heard about this like mining stock from these guys at her work. And so she just threw all her money in that because it sounded like it was going to, they were going to strike gold and it was going to go way up. Well, it didn't, and it went bankrupt, the company. So that's really scary. And that's why we talk about diversifying. So when you're buying things like ETFs, which are exchange traded funds, for instance, it is a basket of different holdings. You're getting, 100 stocks, 500 stocks, or thousands of stocks all within this one position. So you don't have that same volatility. You don't have to think, what if that company goes bankrupt tomorrow? Well, if there's 500 companies in your holding and one goes bankrupt tomorrow, it really shouldn't even make a big dent on your overall performance and on that position. So these are some of the ways and that we can think about investing differently so it isn't as scary.
Should we do it through a bank, or should we just go to an investor, or should we just do it ourselves, you think?
Yeah, there's all types of options, and it really depends on the person and what you're looking to achieve. So as a financial advisor, I work with clients on a day-to-day basis where I am, giving investment recommendations and managing money. But there's people that choose to do it themselves, and that's completely fine. And then there's also kind of an in-between, which is more of like a robo-advisor type structure where it's going to give you almost some suggestions based on you answering certain questions about like your age, your time frame, and then it's going to almost spit out some results of like, okay, here's a nice diversified portfolio for you. So there's all sorts of methods, and there's not necessarily a right or wrong. It's more a personal preference, I would say. If things are relatively simple and, by all means, I would say the do-it-yourself approach is perfect. So it's just, again, a matter of, maybe learning a little bit, buying something well-diversified, keeping it simple, and just going ahead with that. And you can also have your money invested ongoing to take away some of that, volatility of the markets too. So markets are going up, markets are going down. Well, you just have every paycheck, $500 is going into that investment every month. So you don't really care. Markets go up, markets go down. Oh, well, you're buying it sometimes when it's higher up, sometimes when it's lower. But overall, you're kind of getting it at all these different points, which should help kind of smooth out some of the volatility longer term. So that's a great do-it-yourself approach. That's simple. You can automate it, and it's essentially like kind of a set it and forget it, but don't completely forget it, right? We got to pay attention to our money. So I guess it's, do you have the time, the desire, and, how complicated is your situation? That's kind of a good gauge of maybe how to assess what makes sense for you.
And now credit cards and stuff. How should people handle credit?
don't do it. Don't use those known names.
You know, but you gotta build your credit, right? And you gotta get in, you know, some sort of credit established to buy a house and a car and do things in the future. So you kind of gotta do it a little.
Yeah, you do. It's funny because I grew up where, you know, credit cards were just a big no-no. Like my mom didn't have a credit card. And so I think I was in university the first time I met like a fellow classmate. She was talking about her credit card. And I was like, oh my gosh, she has a credit card. Like it felt so like, so like bad or something, like a rebel.
She's a sinner.
But you're right. There's a purpose to credit in the sense of building credit. It's almost how you establish, you know, a history for banks to look at when you do want to borrow money for big purchases, like a home, or if you want to buy a car and finance it. You will need that credit history established because they're not willing to lend to you without it. It's sort of their, you know, sort of like a safety measure to say, okay, this person pays their bills, right? It's almost just to establish like, okay, you know, they're a safe person to lend money to. So there is that element, and that's why, you know, it's something that you do want to have and get a credit card eventually. But starting out when you're young, and if you're getting a credit card, keep those low limits. Like you're probably only going to be given a low limit to start out with. That's okay. And use that and kind of, you know, stay within that for a while, because the goal with a credit card should always be that you're going to be paying off the full balance every month. That's how you want to be using a credit card. So only put on it what you think you can pay off in full at the end of the month, because if you don't, that accumulates and you're paying interest on it and you're paying some astronomical rates, right? You're paying like 19% or maybe more. And another key is just keep it simple. Try not to have too many different credit cards, because you know, it just gets complicated in your head of keeping track of them all ultimately, and you might miss a payment because you have five credit cards and, you know, you're like, oh, whoops, I forgot that one came due on that day, and it maybe wasn't even intentional, but you forgot. So I would say keep it simple, maybe stick to one or two credit cards, and again, use it to that establish that credit so you can have these bigger purchases later on or eventually, or have the flexibility to do so, but do treat it in a way of that you want to be paying it off every month. I think we've really forgotten, like, I think of myself as a child, like when you're a kid and you don't have any money and no one's going to give you a credit card, obviously. If you want something, you have to save up for it, like fully save up for it. And I think we forgot how to save up for something with credit cards, which is really unfortunate. So it's that instant gratification. I want it. I'll just get it right now and I'll pay for it later. But it's really dangerous pushing that pay for it later, because it's almost like you disconnect from that later person. You're like, oh yeah, yeah, it'll, you know, she'll handle it later. But it's like, it's me having to pay for it later on. So it's still you. So I think it's like, can you go back to that time when we were kids? And if you wanted something, you had to save up money. And it actually felt really good. Like when you got to your savings goal, I mean, I don't know if this is like for everyone, but I have a story in my book where I talk about how I wanted a Super Nintendo more than anything. And I saved up for it. And I think it took me almost a year, because I was like 9 years old. And it felt amazing to buy that Super Nintendo on my own. So there's so much power in, you know, just having some saving goals and working towards them.
Yeah, it makes a difference. And I guess, you know, we should really avoid all of those things you see advertised on TV, you know, quick credit and get this and get that and all these, you know, because most of them, it's huge interest and you end up paying four times what it's worth.
Exactly. Like, think about those as, you know, they're pretty much always the winner in those.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, oh, what a good deal. I don't have to pay for, you know, one year. Oh, I can split it up over four payments, and you think like, this is amazing. Well, they pretty much are always like, the reason they're offering that is because they're making money off of it, right? So just decide, yeah, you know, maybe that's not the best approach, and just give yourself a pause. Like there's so much of this. We can shop online and we can get things so quickly and easily that there's less of a time for us to get in that rational part of our brain where we pause and just decide, do I really want this and need it? And so if you have to just make a practice of that in general, if you're buying things on your phone, okay, maybe put it in your cart online, you know, your shopping cart or whatever it is, and then just go away from that site and give yourself 24 hours or something just to think about it. And I would argue that a lot of the times you're probably just going to ditch that cart and not actually buy the thing.
Yeah, or they send you an email every hour. You forgot. You forgot to check out. Yeah. You forgot, yeah.
Your card's still here.
Yeah, your card. It's still waiting. Did you forget? Yeah,
I know. You're like, it'll be fine. My cart will be fine. No. But it's just that we're in a very, like, consumer-driven society, and it's always making us feel like we need all this stuff. And it's almost like that's what we see as, like, the definition of success is the fancy car and the house. But if you actually really look at, like, net worth and I think that the book's called, like, The Millionaire Next Door and, you know, all these different stats, it shows that, like, actual millionaires oftentimes don't even drive brand new cars, and their houses aren't the multi-million dollar houses either. So there's, you know, the flashy look of wealth, and then there's what is real wealth, and oftentimes it doesn't actually, you can't actually see it. And often what we're seeing is people that are actually just really indebted.
Yeah, a lot of credit. You know, they have a lot of credit, and they buy. You know, I also grew up in the time where you did save up to buy things. It wasn't about just charging it all to have it all. You actually worked and paid for things and stuff. So it's slightly changed from that.
Yeah, you know? Massively. Yeah. And we're losing touch, like, with that reality too, because, like, we don't use physical money anymore, pretty much ever. Like, actual dollar bills and coins, and those are just gone. It's almost like most places don't even, like, expect you to pay with cash. If you do, they're like, what?
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. That's the whole thing. The made up plan. Yeah, they're taking it away, man. It's all gonna end now. So now, how do people find out more about you and the books? And do you have a website? Do you have social media? Where is Kaylee?
Yeah. So I am on social media. So you can check me out there. I have a website. It's KayleeBoisvert.com. So just my first name, last name.com. And the books are for sale wherever, like, online books are sold. So Amazon's probably the easiest spot to get those. Yeah, but you can also, on my website, it links to where you can order the books as well online.
Well, perfect. Of course, we'll have that up on our website, and we'll make sure everybody has it real quick. One click. Check out some of the books, actually. Learn how to be rich. You'll be like Dave there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Make money your thing. Ditch the shame and design your dream life. And the author of both books that we've been talking about today is Kaylee Boisvert. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, everyone. Your audience is amazing. So I really appreciate, your time today.
Thanks, Kaylee.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.